And then today, the he might be out multiple weeks. I'm like, not
obviously. Yeah, it's fucking hamstring, 3 week hamstring, like usual.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Funk House. Hopefully our technical difficulties don't continue into the pod here. But we got a great show lined up, as always. I got my co-host, Mr. Chains. Gerald, how are we doing tonight?
Doing well. Another wild week. A lot to talk about. Big points this week.
Yeah. Another terrible week for me, as usual. And I scored a lot of points in most leagues, and it didn't matter. Not at all. But I digress. We have one of our favorite guests to have on tonight, featured sponsor and crowd favorite, Dr. Drip, the Burger Daddy, Brandon. Thanks for coming on. I could give you several other names. The Big Bad Brandster, Jimmy Scraggs, Skagness. They keep coming. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I got a lot of AKAs, all jacked up on Halloween candy and super excited to be here.
A lot of alii for Brandon. And I guess I could say the same for Jerry as well. So happy belated Halloween to you guys. I want to know, what were your little ones dressed up as?
Mine was Minnie Mouse. We had a little like tassel cap with the ears and stuff since it was cold outside, and just, you know, had the classic red skirt with all that, black shirt, little bit of paint on the face, and she helped us hand out candy is what she did this year.
I bet Steph loved that costume. Brandon?
The girl was dressed up as Ariel, the Little Mermaid, and the boy, he was going to be Bowser, which is super popular this year. I saw everybody doing Mario stuff.
Nice.
He was going to be Bowser, and then he threw up on his costume at school because he was sick.
Nice.
And then we had to, like, last minute throw together a dinosaur costume that he hated. So. Just another great day of parenting.
That's funny. So diversity week continues, I guess, because Ariel's black now. So congratulations on your biracial baby, Brandon. That's outstanding. Yes, are you?
I did want to say that I have some big shoes to fill. I listened to the podcast last week, and I thought Nikita did an outstanding job.
Yeah.
She's a great guest.
We got a lot of emails about her. Let's not pump her up too much right now because I got a lot to say about some of her takes later. But I want to start off with a very heartfelt get well soon to my dude, Kirk Cousins. Man, that was tough. We're losing them all this year. The worst injury year ever. But then again, next year will be the worst. It's just going to keep getting worse. So T's and P's out to the Cousins family. It looked like his surgery was successful, and he's got the nice purple cast on. And we'll see if newly acquired Josh Dobbs can kind of keep it rolling for the Vikes. But tough loss for a lot of fantasy implications on Kirk. You got Jefferson, Addison, Hawkinson, all the sons, Madison, you know, all of them here. But Dobbs is a competent quarterback, and, you know, we'll see what we can do there. So tough break for Kirk, but definitely all Nikita's fault, and we're going to continue on as that's the case, but we'll get into some more of her later. So Brandon, I'm sure that you'll fill those shoes quite nicely. Certainly better than Brad filled your shoes when we were out at Turkey Foot that year when he had the blown out running shoe. Do you remember that?
Blew them right out.
That was so funny.
Track shoes. And you guys walked to Brookville.
Was that night? So
I think that was that night.
All right.
In a dirty pair of track shoes.
Story time. You familiar with turkey foot or turkey track, Jerry?
I am, yes.
Yeah, so a well-known Dubois, Brockway-ish high school drinking area where you just hope, you know, if you can get a car back there, you can sit around a fire and just, you know, illegally underage binge drink. Of course, we're not condoning that, but we were out there one night, certainly not indulging at all, doing everything by the book, and the police came, and Brad was wearing some kind of flip-flop, I think, and needed a pair of shoes. So he's like at least a size or two bigger than Brandon's foot. And he put on Brandon's old track shoes. And while we were vacating the area, he blew out the sides. And his had like two or three toes sticking out the sides. It was very funny. And we got lost that night, me and Brad. And we walked to Brookville, basically. Because we saw the interstate sign that says, like, Brookville 2 miles. And then actually walked the whole way back to Super Sub to get his truck. So probably the longest walk of my life. Brandon, I know you're a marathon guy, but I think we had you beat that night. Something I'll never forget. So that was a fun little night, and we used to raise quite the ruckus. Can't do that anymore. Just not built for it. Not built different, as the kids say. Built all the same now, all of us. All right, so that'll conclude story time.
I'm a 10 and a half. I'm a 10 and a half, and Brad's a 13.
So. Oh, yeah. 10 and a half on a good day. All right, that'll conclude story time. I apologize if I'm extra nasally. This COVID still got a hold of me. It's just the after effects, but I'll try not to be too annoying tonight. But I am going to turn it over to Jerry for his patented weekly recap. Jerry, would you take it from here?
Yeah, so another wild week, like we said. I did okay because I split the post this week, went 2-2. Big win against our guest here in the dynasty league we're in. We were both the high scorers of the week, so unfortunate to lose that way for Brandon, but a battle of Goliaths nonetheless. Last week, QBs, there was a lot of good QBs, 7 quarterbacks that went over 30 plus points. Sam Howell, QB1 on the week with nearly 40 points, and he had 4 touchdowns. Also, 4 touchdowns was a theme here. Dak Prescott had 4 touchdowns and a big win over the Rams. Jalen Hurts, 4 touchdowns in that battle against Washington. And then Will Levis in his rookie debut, coming in and throwing 4 touchdowns, 3 of those to Hopkins. Burrow and Herbert, they both had 30-point games. Tua and Dobbs, they weren't far behind. So it was a really good quarterback week. For running backs, Gibbs, again, with another huge week. He was just under 30 points. Caff was right there with him, right around 29 points, as always. The Gus bus, it got rolling. 3 touchdowns on the week. And then Kamara, ETN, they both continue to dominate at 4-5 on the week. And Eckler was back with a nice game, which I know a lot of us were looking for. Wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb had his big game of the year, 41 points, 12 for 158, and 2 touchdowns. Huge game for CD. All the Lamb owners have been waiting for that. DeAndre Hopkins, vintage, 3 touchdowns from Will Levis. I mean, we'll see what Will Levis has got out there. If he's just going to sling it, maybe Hopkins' stock rises a little bit. A.J. Brown continues his reign, putting up 33 points, 8 for 130, and 2 touchdowns. And he's now broke the record for consecutive, I think it's 125-yard games. Ridiculous. He's on an absolute tear. Chase, Hill, Waddle, they all had nice games. And then Dotson finally showed up once I dropped him. Tight ends, Trey McBride was the big add this week, and he got a ton of targets in relief of Ertz.
About
he went 10 for 95 and a touchdown.
Love it. Love to see that.
Yeah. He looked good out there. He got peppered. I think he had like 12, 13 targets. Caught 10 of them, so pretty amazing game for him. Kittle had a big game. He had 23 points and a touchdown, 9 for 14. Oh, no, without a touchdown. Had 23 points, 9 for 149. pretty impressive performance from him with the struggling Niners. And then Taysom Hill, he had 2 touchdowns on the ground, caught a ball, threw a ball, you name it. He did it all this week. And then Hockenson and Laporta rounded out the tight ends. They had big games. And also wanted to just mention to keep an eye on Jake Bobo out there. You know, he's got touchdowns in back-to-back weeks, really a nose for the end zone, but, you know, limited snaps, but he's making it count out there. What's your thoughts on Bobo?
I haven't seen a ton of Bobo, I'll be honest with you, but I've liked what I've seen. I know Len's a big fan. Seems like he's like a crowd favorite, like the 13th or the 12th man, excuse me, fucking love some Bobo. So I'm all for it. I guess we need a new white boy to cheer for. Well, we still got Thielen, Jerry. You know, he's a renaissance man this year. But, yeah, yeah, Bobo, he looks like something that could be kind of a mid-tier receiver going forward. Not behind, you know, the 3 that they have there. But if that situation clears up down the road in a few years, I could see something happening with Bobo for sure. We will get into the Fantasy Funkhouse Stock Exchange. So I'm about halfway through the picks pod of this week. Eric D, the guest, and pretty solid so far. So kudos to you, Eric. But want to continue a conversation that they had, not football related, but something very close to all of our hearts here, snacks. So Len was talking about he heard Patrick Mahomes in his house has a freezer full of Dippin' Dots in his garage. I want to get your take on Dippin' Dots as a dessert / treat. And I guess where does it rank with other little frozen novelties? Not necessarily straight up ice cream, but you know, they mentioned some other ones. You got your classic, formerly known as Nutty Buddies. You got your formerly known as Scooter Crunch Bars. You got your Bomb Pops. I'm a big Bomb Pop guy. Fucking Flintstone Push Pops. Those are great. But what do you get your take on those?
Man, Dippin' Dots. I went hard into Dippin' Dots for a while in the amusement park days. I do enjoy them, but I don't think it's something I want to have a freezer full of. I like it more as a one-time treat when you're in that setting. It's scorching hot. There's no cover from the sun. Get that little bowl of dots. It melts pretty fast in your hand, but it's good while it lasts. My favorite flavor, actually, like it's a little offshoot of the dots. It's called Rainbow Ice. It's like more of a ice dots compared to all the other ice cream flavors they have. But I'm a big fan of that. But man, I love a good just a good freezer treat. Yeah. There's so many good ones. It's really hard to pick from. I like just a standard ice cream sandwich.
Okay. Brandon, your thoughts?
Thoughts on the Dippin' Dots. It is a little bit, I feel like it's kind of a touristy kind of thing. Like you get it at ballparks, you get it at the zoo,
yeah.
You get it at a water park.
Yeah.
It's like an overpriced ice cream kind of treat. I do enjoy it still. I think the thing that I like about Dippin' Dots, I think it's banana split that I get.
Okay.
Well, that's a good one.
And like they're like the little dots and they're like portioned out really well. Like you eat a banana split, you get big bites of just vanilla. You get big bites of just chocolate. Mm-hmm. If the Dippin' Dots, it's all kind of mixed together and it's like perfectly ratioed. I do like that about it. I'm not going to put it up in the upper echelon of frozen treats or anything like that. I'm a big Choco Taco guy, RIP.
Oh yeah,
they've just done away with so many good ice cream novelty items lately. And it's a declining market. You know, it just makes me sad.
Yeah, I agree. Len is not going to be happy about this because he is, believe it or not, very opinionated. I don't know if you guys knew that, but hates Dippin' Dots, hates that it's a thing, hates that it's even compared to ice cream. And I'm a middle-of-the-road guy. I get some enjoyment out of Dippin' Dots. Couldn't tell you last time I had it. But I certainly, you know, definitely like a Disney World type thing, amusement park, you know, all that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
it is labeled the ice cream of the future. Well, when's the future is what I'm wondering, because in the 90s it was ice cream in the future. That's my only gripe with it. But big fan of
We're in the future now.
Yeah. Big fan of push pops. Fan of, like I said, the bomb pops. Yeah. I really like those ugly fucking popsicle ice cream bars, like the Sonic the Hedgehog and the Ninja Turtle ones, where you got like the gumballs for eyes. Yeah. And they always look like they have Down syndrome, but fuck, are they good? Then you get the little gumball treat at the end. Really enjoy those. So really, really. Go ahead, Brandon.
Got a all-time favorite King Cone. I mean, it's just a classic thing. Love the King Cone. We have at our store in Treasure Lake One Stop, no free ads, but we have a bag of where you get the bottom of the King Cone that's like the point of the cone, and it's got chocolate filling at the bottom.
Yeah.
They make those, and that's it. It's a bag of the tip with chocolate filled.
Yeah, it's called like cone that's the tip. Muddy right? Something, isn't it? Muddy.
Yeah, those are delightful. Yeah, that's like my favorite. That's like my favorite thing in the world.
I've never seen them, but I've
just the tip.
Or I've never had them, but I've seen ads for them. They do look delicious.
Well, I'll hook you up with them, Matt.
Yeah, scrumptious even. So, I would love that. But the funny part of their little rant that they went on is that Eric D said. And of all the people to say this, oh, the woke mob came for the ice cream names, and now you can't call them certain things. And Len said, yeah, Scooter Crunch Bars can't call it that anymore. It's disrespectful to people that have to ride around on those scooters. Which is, I almost had to pull over. I was laughing so hard. That was so funny. So whether that's true or not, you know, we'll leave it up to the audience to decide. So that's really funny. So let's jump into the Fantasy Funkhouse Stock Exchange here. So we know we got a lot of teams on bye this week. Last week we were a little spoiled, did not have any to really worry about. But we got the Coes, the Lions, the Jags, and the Niners on bye this week. So I want to get your take on... I want to see about these Steelers wide receivers. So Steelers playing tomorrow night on Thursday at home at Akron Stadium, whatever you want to call it. Brandon, what are your thoughts on these wideouts for the Steelers? Meaning no name, Deontay Johnson. I can't start with Jerry because he's not sure who that is. And George the Alien Pickens.
So I have... in the smash area, I may have had one of these guys that has had a certain touchdown drought that is about to end tomorrow night as we're recording this on Wednesday. Deontay Johnson, 655 days, I think, the last time I checked, since he scored a touchdown. And I think that ends this week against the pass funnel Titans. I think he's going to get it done. I don't have a lot of faith in Kenny Pickett. I don't have a lot of faith in Matt Canada, but he's just had a bad stretch. And there was a touchdown he could have had a touchdown pass. He was open in the end zone last week, and Pickett, or Trubisky, I guess it was at that point, just missed him. So he's been having a bad run. I think he's going to get it together. He has talent. He's getting targets. He gets 7-8 targets a game, turns it into 5 catches a game, something like that. He needs a little bit better luck in the end zone. Pickens, not super high on him. I feel like he's a flashy highlight reel kind of guy. He has some talent, but I just – the routes that they have him running, and like he just gets pushed out. He's running a lot of 9 routes, and he gets pushed out of bounds a lot. And he gets smothered against the sideline, and it's just not ideal for him. But he pops off every once in a while. But I don't have a lot of faith in this Steelers offense, just in general.
Jerry,
I agree. Pickens, I think he's going to have like the one big catch a game. Last week he had one catch, 22 yards and a touchdown. But he's only had touchdowns in a few games this year. Out of those two, I definitely want Deontay just based on the volume. I feel like he, like Brandon said, he hasn't got the touchdowns, but it's got to come at some point. And I just like his chances overall just based on volume. I think he'll catch more balls, have a better line. Pickens, you're just waiting for like the boom or bust. Much less consistency out of him. I'd rather go with Deontay.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I mean, no surprise here, but I disagree with both of you. I'd much rather have Pickens. I just think he's overall a better player. He's got better hands. The routes are a little bit questionable, but I think it has a lot to do with how they're using him. And frankly, I am sick of the Matt Canada crutch, and that's all anybody can bitch about. Basically, you don't have many good players. It's pretty safe to say this Steeler team is bottom 10, maybe bottom 8 in the league, with or without Pickett. It's just a talent thing, and that's looking at it very objectively. I would assume our counterparts in the stairway would probably agree after last game, but you never know when they have their rose-colored glasses on, you know. But not here to you know, disparage them at all. I do that enough. Brandon?
Is there a more overrated team in the league, do you think? Like, they have a 4-3 record, I believe, right now. Is there a team that you have less faith in that's, like, above 500? Or, I mean...
No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I think that there's a lot of teams with a losing record that are, I mean, pretty easily better than them.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Pretty handily better. But I
noticed that last week that they were 4-2, and I was kind of blown away that that's what they were. I didn't realize they'd won 4 games already.
Yeah.
I was like, it doesn't make sense. But they always, that's how the Steelers always are. They always find a way to get that win, no matter how ugly it may be.
It's really annoying because then people will think they're good, especially Steeler fans. And then you got to hear about it, and it's like, Jesus Christ, like, what game are you watching?
It's so fun to rag on them.
It is.
It's like there was 5 yards of offense and you guys won 12-9. You weren't good. Okay.
Yeah. And you know, they talked about it on the Picks Pod a little bit. I haven't gotten to listen to the Stairway yet this week, but I'm anxious to see what those guys have to say about it. But this isn't a Steelers hate session. This is just, you know, the stock exchange here. But Pickens. Yeah. 5 targets a game. Maybe 2 of them are catchable. I just want to see. He should be getting 10, you know, and see what the guy can do with him. He had a great highlight touchdown. Wasn't enough to, you know, pull it out for the Stees, but you never know. Deontay, he had, you know, he missed a lot of time, and he's just coming back, so we'll see how that could be. He is a possession volume guy at this point. He's not really a playmaker, but that's still good for fantasy, so you got to be happy about that if you can get it. And I could definitely see that smashing this week, Brandon. So, yeah, I like that pick. We will reiterate that in the smash section. let's go over to Frankfurt. Offensive juggernauts, the Chiefs, and the Dolphins. So I want to know who is going to be the, I guess, leading rusher in this game. I think we all know it's probably Tyreek, assuming he's healthy, and I would probably give the edge to Mahomes passing yards, but I want to know who's going to be the leading rusher over in Germany between the Finns and the Chiefs.
Leading rusher? I mean, I want to say Mostert just because, but ankle is a bit of an issue right now. But that would be my initial thought is Mostert.
I believe Jerick McKinnon has a little bit of health issue, so he's not certain to play, so that might affect the outcome there. Brandon?
Pacheco was a smash for you guys, one of you guys last week, wasn't he?
I believe he
was. Yeah, he didn't quite get there. I mean, they just had a really bad game. Yeah. Like, the Broncos just – Mahomes had the flu or whatever. You can call it whatever you want. Taylor Swift wasn't there. I don't give a fuck. Like, I mean, they just had a shit game. You can't I just have a hard time believing they're going to play bad 2 weeks in a row. I kind of like Pacheco to smash here this week. This game's got crazy shootout potential. But, I mean, I kind of like Pacheco there. The Dolphins' backfield's kind of a little bit of a mess. I picked up Ahmed a couple weeks ago, and he really hasn't panned out, and they've got some stuff going on. I was going to throw out a trade-off for A-Chain, but to you, Matt, sorry.
Yeah, it's probably going to be my keeper next year, assuming that he's still good at football.
It's probably going to be too expensive. So
I told Brad.
Yeah, I kind of like Pacheco to bounce back this week, and the Chiefs just in general to at least have a good game. I kind of like the Fins, but I like the Chiefs to at least play well this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be a good game, and we know it could be an offensive juggernaut, which means it's going to be, 20-17. That's just how that works. Brandon, pretty much everybody on my team is available with the exception of Devon Achan. So, everybody's available for the price, but just keep that in mind.
One stat I saw on the Dolphins that concerned me a bit is that they haven't beat any teams with winning records.
You're right. And I think the reason behind that is that they've either played the best teams in the league, not at home, or garbage teams. Exactly what it is. You play Buffalo in Buffalo, you play Philly at Philly. What are you going to do about that? I know they get the Chiefs at a quote-unquote neutral, Chiefs are the home team, but it's a neutral environment here. And I know they have some other ones coming up. Anxious to see what happens, Buffalo and Miami, but that's the nature of the record right now. You play those juggernauts away, you're going to lose. That's just how it is. I'm not going to bring up the Philly game. I had a lot of conversations with Crazy Legs Johnson about that game, a lot of officiating questions. Brandon, didn't bring it up to you out of respect, but I think the Eagles still were the better team. And at home, it's very hard to beat the Eagles at home, especially in primetime. You're playing both those games in primetime away, and the Eagles coming off a loss, and they're wearing the Kellys. There's no chance. Yeah, I mean,
there's no chance. The rest knew. They were in on it. Take it for what it is.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt. Jerry, what did you have for the stock exchange?
Just want to talk about a few. This was kind of a crazy week for QB changes here. So we got Dobbs to the Vikings. We talked about that a bit, but he's looked decent this year. What do we expect for this Viking offense moving forward? I mean, obviously, it doesn't sound like he's starting this week. They have Jahan Hill,
Jaren Hall
playing, so it'll probably be a rough week. But Dobbs has looked pretty decent this year, but how's he going to fit into this Viking offense? And how much does it affect the big fantasy guys of Hawkinson, Jefferson, Addison?
All the sons. Well, Jerry, you better hope Jaren Hall works out, because if I'm not mistaken, you're probably starting him against me in Crook League, aren't you?
Yeah, don't have once we'll get to the soapbox, I'll divulge more about these past few weeks, but... Okay. Yeah, it's been rough with bye weeks in my teams and quarterbacks. And I dropped Daniel Jones last week. I was forced to do it. And, of course, someone else picked him up right away. I figured I'd be able to grab his trash ass right back up off waivers. But in a two-quarterback league, people snake those guys right away. But, it's going to be an interesting week for me again in a few leagues.
Yeah, you've been making patchwork quarterbacks all year, and I just want you to know, a lot of people do things out of respect, but out of disrespect to you, I put a claim in for Will Levis just because I saw you didn't have a quarterback. So I just wanted to let you know that was the case. And he is available for trade, though, so that's keep that fair. In mind. For the Minnesota offense, I mean, it's going to be worse. Like, there's no way around it. Dobbs is competent, but it's not like he's fueling a wide receiver one. Now, if Jefferson comes back and plays, I'll be very interested to see. And actually, I'd be very interested in Dobbs maybe as a QB2 in a super flex or a QB or a 2QB league. Addison, I think this little mini run he had is going to trail off. But I'm hoping that's wrong because I have so many shares of him. But the running game is non-existent, and I think it's going to go away altogether. Akers, somehow found his way in the end zone last week. Still looked terrible. He's still a bad football player, so Let's all remember that. But Madison looks worse at this point. He looks real fucking bad. And there's no run game at all. And their line can't run block at all. I mean, they're pretty good in pass block, but it's gone. So we'll see if Hawkinson and Jefferson and Addison can keep it going. But I have questions. I mean, certainly this week with Hall, he's a very slight guy. And he played at BYU, the heir apparent to Zach Wilson. So maybe he's out hunting MILFs this weekend. Maybe trying to get get the spirits up a little bit. Who doesn't love a good MILF? So we'll see. And maybe in 3 weeks or so, if Dobbs can get his feet under him, then I'll have a little bit more interest in these guys. But you got Addison and Hawkinson. You're starting them. I don't think you can get away from starting them. You just got to temper expectations. That's my take on it.
I read a stat the other day that Marquise Brown leads the league in, I guess he doesn't lead the league, but he has the most uncatchable balls thrown at him out of any receiver this year, coming from Josh Dobbs. So just take that for what it's worth. Interesting. That's really all I have to say about Dobbs.
I thought that would have been George Pickens, to be honest with you, but
Okay, let's talk about some other bad quarterbacks. Jimmy G, horrendous performance. Announced today he's being benched for Aiden O'Connell. Raiders cleaned house today. It's a mess there. But what about guys like Devontae and Josh Jacobs? Are they done rest of season? Does this help them rest of season? What are your thoughts there?
I mean, this might be a like a Nate Hackett deal last year where I think those guys didn't like Josh McDaniels. And he's gone now. And Dave Ziegler, the GM's gone now. But I don't think that they liked playing for him. It seemed like it was kind of like this Matt Patricia thing where he comes in and he's fucking big chest. I worked with Belichick, and this is how we do things, and you're going to fucking show up on time, and I don't want to hear any lip and all this shit and try to be real aggro. And the guys just didn't like it. Nobody seems to like playing with him. And you saw what Chandler Jones said about him. Apparently, he's the reason that Aaron Hernandez's life is in the toilet, which is certainly I don't believe is true, but it's very entertaining to me that Chandler Jones blamed Aaron Hernandez on Josh McDaniels. Brandon, I don't know if you saw that or not, but
did not. That was the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, he did like an Instagram live saying, everybody thought Aaron Hernandez killed himself. Oh, you didn't know it was Josh McDaniels. And then he just started crying, and then the screen went black. So he's lost it for sure.
I want to check into Epstein too. Maybe yeah. Epstein has some ties to Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really.
Maybe Epstein is McDaniels.
Have you ever seen him in the same place at one time? So let's keep this in mind, it's not a conspiracy pod, but it's not a conspiracy pod. So
I've never seen Epstein in a visor. So.
That's a good point. We'll have to check the island out and see if anybody's wearing a visor. You never know, but I think that it can't get worse than what Garoppolo is doing, and Adams is still Adams, and the squeaky wheel is bound to get a little bit of grease. And you got to throw to him 15 times this week. You have to. And Jacobs, I mean, I know we weren't very high on Jacobs, Jerry, but he's still just I think talent-wise, probably a top 15 back. I wouldn't say top 10, but the line's trash. We'll see if the guys kind of will some good games out of them playing for a new coach, but I don't have a ton of confidence in either one. But I do think Adams can hold his own. You just got to throw him the ball. That's it. I mean, Jimmy G just didn't throw him the ball. So
there was two plays that Jimmy G missed him wide open. The one would have been like an 80-yard touchdown. The other was like a 60-yard touchdown. And as a guy that had him versus Amon-Ra Monday night, it was very tough to watch. Yeah. But he'll get back, I hope. But one more QB switcheroo. The Falcons, Taylor Heineke, now named the starter. And I would probably guess it's going to stay that way for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So same question here. Does it elevate the pass catchers here? Do we see Pitts get some action? Does London get more? Does it hurt the run game at all? Anything like that? What do you think of the Falcons situation here?
Well, I was going to turn it over to our guest here, but he's got to pull a little bit of dad duty here. So I'll take this. I think this elevates pretty much everybody. I've been on record as a Heinicke guy. I don't think he's like that great, but I just like him. And I think he's a gamer, and I think guys like playing for him. I think it's a similar to like a Gardner Minshew type deal. But I think that this could definitely elevate the likes of Pitts and London and whoever else you want to throw the ball to, potentially Bijan. But I think Heinicke's just a better quarterback. And, you know, Len mentioned this in the picks pod. I was big on Ritter. He was big on Ritter. It's not worked out, you know. And I want to say about this term that I keep hearing from our guys over in the living room. The kids are saying mid now. And I get what that means. I don't like it, first off, because I'm a curmudgeon and I don't like kids' new slang. I think it's fucking dumb. But everything was cool when we were that age, certainly. But the term mid is like, people use it as disrespectful. But when you call players like Desmond Ridder mid, that's like a compliment because they're not mid. They're not good. They're trash. These quarterbacks aren't mid. So I just hate hearing that. It's so fucking dumb. Because it doesn't, when they use it, it means they think it means like bad, but it is what it is. It's like middle of the tier, like average. Middle.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. So like PJ Walker is not mid. Desmond Ridder is not mid. Kenny Pickett is not mid. Jordan Love is not mid. They're garbage players. There's nothing mid about them. I should have saved that for the soapbox, but that shit is so fucking dumb. That'd
be a good soapbox.
Yeah.
I kind of like mid.
I got plenty. Like mid. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. And it's not just because Len and Mikey say it, but it's so dumb.
Did you guys ever see the guy on whatever Instagram, Mr. Chime Time? He does food reviews.
Yeah, I like him.
And he'll do a chicken review, and he calls it Michigan. Like mid chicken, but he says it so fast it's like mid chicken.
That's funny. I didn't know so that.
Funny. Mid is middle, like not.
Yeah, fast. It's not bad. Like, what is an insult? I think it's funny because I love reading Instagram comments because people get real upset and aggressive. It's so fucking funny. But you see a hot girl posted, and guys are like, "Yeah, she's mid." And people get like real mad about it. Like, that's funny to me. I think that's funny. But when you call like a really bad quarterback mid, like, you're doing him a compliment. So that, yeah. I just don't think that they realize that's what that means. And I'm not talking about Len and Mikey. I'm talking about just like people in general. That's just such a saying now that doesn't really mean what people think it means. But yeah, I got plenty to bitch about on Soapbox. Don't worry about that, guys. All right, so who are we talking about here? I got off on a tangent.
Ritter.
Taylor, yeah. Taylor Heinicke in the
Taylor Heinicke situation is mid. I will say that.
Yeah.
He's probably right around mid. I do think that he will elevate these guys because Ritter is not mid. He's sub mid. So maybe we'll start saying that. See if that'll catch on. Brandon, what are your thoughts on these receivers and backs?
Bot. Yeah, I mean, you guys pretty much said it. I think Heinicke is a little bit of an upgrade. Ritter, you got to kind of just ride it out for a little while and see if there's something worth building on there. And I think they're just kind of past that. He got banged up, didn't he? He got a little bit banged up.
Allegedly had a concussion.
Yeah, and then they, you know, that's how it goes. It's right. A cop out. It's just everything that Arthur Smith does is just. I thought I liked him for a while. Tried to pull the cool guy mustache, just not working. Like, just everything he does just kind of pisses me off. But you got to roll out Heinicke. Gives these guys at least a fighting chance. Maybe he'll throw to like a guy that has talent.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Maybe. You know.
They were talking about last week when you have Kyle Pitts blocking for Jonnu Smith throwing a pass to Michael Pruitt. Is that the funniest thing that you've ever heard?
What are we doing?
Like, this is what plays were drawn up right now. I get it. You're thinking of like a little misdirection, but no, that is not working. Not at all. Brandon, do you have anything you wanted to bring to the table here as far as the stock exchange?
The stock exchange, I'm kind of buying low right now on the underperforming wide receiver twos in general. I think if you can get one of those guys that like a Higgins or a Waddle or a Devonta Smith. I mean, love those guys right now. Like, they're, you know, everything kind of comes in waves, and you know, they've been, all those guys have been kind of underperforming, and you know, I mean, especially this week, I think Eagles Cowboys playing each other, and Lamb and AJ Brown, everybody thinks they're going to go off. I mean, I could definitely see one of those role player guys going off because they're trying to, you know, the Eagles don't want CeeDee Lamb to beat them. The Cowboys don't want AJ Brown to beat them. So
right.
I could see a lot of stuff underneath opening up for these wide receiver twos. Love Higgins' profile, you know, everything about him, big Higgins guy. A lot of these underperforming wide receiver twos, if you have a shot to buy low on them right now, some of these guys did well last week. Smith had a good game. Waddle had a good game. He had a touchdown, but I mean, I think they're still like on an upward trajectory for the rest of the year.
Yeah, for sure. And don't be surprised if you see one of those names, in the smash section later, a little hint, hint there. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm holding strong on all those guys. If I have them, I think Higgins is the one I'm down the worst on, but I still have confidence in him, and I'm going to get him back in my lineup this week in the one league that I do have him. But I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, if you can get those for a cheaper price than what you drafted them for. I mean, Nikita really shit all over Waddle last week, and I think that's a little something that he needed to really get over the hump, because he had an excellent game. So
he took that to heart.
I think he did. And I texted her about it, obviously. Sure. And she just said it was extra encouragement. So it must have been one of those RJ scenarios. Jerry, what are your thoughts on these guys?
Yeah, I think they're all due for the blow-up games. I might be mentioning some of the names in the smash, too. You never know. It could get weird like that. Yeah, some of these guys are due. Simple as that. And I like the matchups, like you said, with the Dallas Eagles game. I could see the same thing with the Bengals Bills, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone focusing on Chase, and Higgins finally blows up. So a lot of exciting things coming up for those guys too, I think. I'm holding tight on any of those guys.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to turn our attention to this Rams Packers games, and I want to talk about these pass catchers, because lot of disappointing guys in this game. You know, Puka's having some good games, some bad games now that Kupp's back. Kupp has had more bad than good, but still some good games. And Christian Watson is just, I mean, maybe droppable at this point. And Romeo Doubs, who I, you know, like quite a bit, he's getting like three targets. He's scoring a touchdown every week, but he's still getting like three targets. It's wild. What are your guys' thoughts on these four receivers in particular? And do you think that any of them are you bailing on them, or are any you're trying to buy low on, or anything like that, Jerry?
So the Packers, Christian Watson and Doubs, I'm keeping them both out of my lineup. I'd love to start Doubs because I love his potential. But like you said, he's just, until he gets targets, can't trust it. He's managing to save his days with touchdowns. There's going to be times where that's not going to happen, and you're just going to get a dud. Watson, yeah, he's pretty much invisible right now, so I don't want him anywhere near my lineup. And who are the other two, you said?
Rams,
yeah. So, I mean, I have Puka in two leagues, so I'm worried about him. He's banked up. And now the biggest concern with me is Stafford. If he doesn't play, then I'm definitely shying away from Puka in that situation. But Stafford's tough. He always plays through stuff. So we'll see what happens there. Kupp, I'm surprised he's had a couple bad games back to back. That's extremely rare for him. He came out hot when he returned. So a little bit of concern there, but if Stafford's there, he's going to have his games. I definitely like those two, the Rams guys, receivers, much better than the Packers.
Yeah, but Jerry, you know who the backup is in L.A., don't you? The Ripper. The Ripper.
Oh.
Brett Rippin. Is it Brett?
Brett Rippin.
Rippin, yeah.
Yeah.
The Ripper Brett. Himself. Brandon, what do you think of these pass catchers?
Yeah, it's not a...
Yeah, both situations really aren't ideal. I kind of avoided Packers altogether this year. I kind of had a feeling it wasn't going to be it for them this year. I've not been a Jordan Love, and then not been in love with Jordan Love. But he came out, I think it was the first week or two, he came out looking pretty decent. I think I remember him throwing like 3 touchdown passes, possibly week one. Kind of ate my words a little bit, but just really haven't been on that train at all with the Packers. So I'm just kind of avoiding them. I don't really want any part of that situation. Just think they're a bad offense. Rams, I've got a lot invested in them across the leagues that I'm in. Kyren Williams, I had Cooper Kupp. I've got Puka everywhere. All three of us are big waiver wire guys. So, I mean, those were huge pickups for me, and now they're kind of dipping off and it's tough. Cooper Kupp, I think he can do it with just about any quarterback. I mean, he's as smart. He could probably play quarterback if he needed to. He's a smart guy, understands offense, understands defense. If I like anybody out of this group, it's Cooper Kupp, but yeah, that's not a surprise to
obviously
anybody. But
yeah.
Puka has been able to show up even with Cooper Kupp on the field. He's kind of overshadowed. I mean, I think the game against the Eagles, he had a really nice game. Cooper Kupp really didn't do all that much. So it was a thumb injury, UCL for Stafford.
Yeah, throwing him.
So it says that he's going to avoid injured reserve, but it sounds like he's going to be out. It says day-to-day, but I can't imagine him playing. If they even thought about putting him on injured reserve, you can't imagine he's going to play this week. So Mr. Brett Rippian, I don't have a lot of info data on him, but sounds like he's your boy Jerry's guy. So
the Grim Ripper.
We've had a few run-ins.
Yeah, the Grim Ripper played for the Coes last year, or was it last year or the year before? I can't remember.
A year before, because it was all Russ last
all
year.
Russ. Yeah,
it was the carousel all of Russ QBs, and he had a little stint, and it's never good.
Yeah. Cooper Kupp. Now, I haven't heard this, but I would imagine, just because he's such a technician in every aspect of the game, just like you said, Brandon, I would imagine he might have some coaching in his future, whether that just be wide receivers, offensive coordinator, something like that. I could definitely see that happening. So, all right, that about wraps it up for the stock exchange. So buy those shares, sell what you can, and trade deadlines are coming up. So see what you can do. Make some deals. Now we'll jump into the smash picks of the week. Going to review last week. Not ideal. Our guest, Nikita, did pretty well. Certainly better than me. Week 8 smashes. Me and her both had CJ Stroud. Had a cool 18 points. Can't say that's a smash, but a decent game, even in a losing effort. I had at running back Eckler in a get-right game. He certainly had that with over 23 points. DJ Moore at wide receiver, just under 10, not a smash. And Kyle Pitts, just out of pure disdain for Weber, had only 6.5, which is pretty much what you're going to get the rest of the year, Webb. So enjoy that for a third-round pick. And 1 out of 4 for me. Nikita, like I said, Stroud, she had the Gus Bus. Huge pick. Maybe one of the most impressive smashes that we've seen here in the living room. I will say that. 3 tutties, just under 30 points. Devontae Adams, though, she said they had a trial separation, and I see why. 2.1 points, even with that beautiful son of a bitch, Jimmy Polo, throwing him the ball. Terrible. And another great smash, Dalton Kincaid. They really targeted the shit out of him out of the gate last week, but 17.5 points for rookie tight end. Great smash. So 2 out of 4, almost 3. Great week for the rookie coming in, Nikita. Yeah. Jerry, how did you do?
Nice. Not bad. One of my better weeks since the past few have been rough. But QB, I had Herbert. He was QB7 on the week. He had 30 points. I asked for 3 touchdowns and 30 points, and that's exactly what I got out of him. So real happy with that. Running back, I had Pacheco. Did not work out how I thought it would. The Coast defense really just kind of ate them up all game. And he only ended up with 40 yards on the ground. He had 6 points or something. Wide receiver, I had Thielen. He had 15 points. Wasn't a bad game. He was 8 for 72, but he was like wide receiver 24 on the week. And tight end, this was a big pick for me. At tight end. At tight end, I had Taysom Hill, who was tight end 3 on the week, 22 points, 2 rushing touchdowns. He had 63 yards rushing. He had a catch for 14 yards, and he threw a pass for 44 yards. So big day for him. That was probably the play that put me over the top against Brandon in the dynasty battle we had this week. So I ended up with 2 of 4 there. Not bad. We'll go 4 for 4 this week, though.
Of course. Of course.
I had the Gus bus on my team too. I had Gus Edwards on my team, and I couldn't overcome Jerry's strength and numbers. Nice win, Jerry.
Good game. Hell of a game.
What a matchup. Match of the Titans. So we'll get into this week's smashes. And Brandon, what you do is the honors of leading us off with your quarterback selection of the week.
I'm not sure if this is a hot take or not. I am going with the Mayo man himself, William Levis, against the Steelers on Thursday night. I don't have any data to back it up. I'm just a Will Levis bro.
Double smash.
All right, all right.
Wow.
Unreal. I think the Steelers secondary is a little bit banged up right now, I believe.
Yeah.
We've got a 36.5 over under last time I checked on that game. I think that over is going to hit, to be honest with you. The throws that I saw that man make on Sunday, that throw, he rolled to his right, threw back across his body on his back foot, 55 yards on a dime to Nuke. That was probably one of the better throws I've seen all year.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can get Nuke and fucking Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chig, you get them somebody, they're going to go off. Let's go.
Yeah.
Go Levin.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon and I are going to wake up tomorrow and put a nice little dollop of Dukes right in our cup of coffee and froth it up. Maybe have a full peel banana or something. I'm not like a Levis guy. Go ahead, Brandon.
I don't understand the hate on Mayo, too. I see so many people just bashing Mayo. I mean, I love Mayo.
I love Mayo,
I mean,
too.
I am who, like, they're Mayo's target audience.
Yeah,
but
me too.
I just love me some Mayo, you know?
I love Mayo.
I do, too.
Mayo by itself is like a spoonful of it in my mouth is one of the grossest things I can think of. But like on anything, I love it. I fucking love mayo. In your coffee, it's a disgrace. I mean, there's no getting around that. But
disgusting
to hate a guy because of mayo or banana, I think is dumb. That's why I kind of stuck up for Levis because I don't really like him. I'm not sure he's going to be good. I don't think he's going to be like horrible, but I'm not sure he's going to be like good. But the only things that people hate him for are those two, and that, he couldn't even start at Penn State. And that's the only thing that I've heard. And that's just like a perpetual argument. And it's like, that's fine if you don't like them. Len has some legitimate reasons to like him beyond the food stuff, which I've talked to him, you know, at length about Levis. And I respect that. But from everybody else, that's all the argument is they just trip over their words and say Penn State. Couldn't even start there. You know, there's a lot of guys. I mean, the whole Joe Burrow argument is, you know, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he couldn't start at Ohio State over, was that Cordell Jones? Or who was the guy that passed away? I think it was him. The guy that played for the Red Hogs and the Steelers.
Haskins.
Dwayne, I think it might have been Haskins, yeah, that Burrow couldn't start over. And it's like, look at the level of talent those guys have. So, like, that's a horrible argument. I think that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But we'll see about Levis. I just think that he can attack this Steelers secondary. Like you said, Brandon, Minka's out. And I'm willing to give him a shot. You know, it's not going to be worse than Tannehill. I'll tell you that. So, I did, like I said, I scooped him up against Jerry, and I'm happy to get him. So, I think that he gets it done here. Jerry, who's your QB?
Yeah, I think Levis will at least just go out there and sling it. So good things can happen. Mine's not as fun and exciting as that. I'm going with Derek Carr. The Saints play the Bears. Every QB that's played the Bears this week has kind of lit it up. So he's only thrown for two touchdowns twice this year. So he's due for like a 3-touchdown game. He's due for that 3-banger. I just really am basing it off the matchup. I think he'll dump off to Kamara 5 million times again. I'm hoping Olave gets one. So let's have a sneaky playing car this week. Get in the car.
I could see that. How about a running back, Jerry?
Running back. I'm going off Breece Hall. He's coming off 3 consecutive 20-point performances. They played the Chargers Monday night, whose defense is normally not great against the run. And when he's not getting it done on the ground, which the last game he didn't, but he made up for it. He's been making up for it in receiving. So I'll take another 20-point week out of Breece Hall.
Very nice. Love me some Breece. Could easily see that happen. And that is primetime at home against the Chargers. So that'll be fun to watch. My running back this week is a guy that I don't even like, and I don't even think is that good. Jonathan Taylor, I just think that his workload is ramped up, and seems like he's getting a little bit more than half the load right now with Moss, and they're playing against the lowly Panthers team, one of the worst rush defenses in the league, and I just think that this is going to be, you know, obviously his best game of the year so far. So I'm thinking pretty close to 100 yards between, you know, over, I'm going to say over 80 yards and a tut. So I think he gets it done there. Brandon?
Well, as much as I love a good double smash, me and Matt are on the same page with everything this week. I have Jonathan Taylor against Carolina written down here, but I wrote 2 down just in case somebody took mine. Ooh. I don't want to cheat the people out of their, you know, out of a smash pick. That's okay. A guaranteed lock. So the second one I had written down here was Ramondre against the Washington Fire Sale. His target share is up to like 17% over the last 3 weeks. He's getting a little bit more involved in the passing game. I don't love the Patriots offense at all, but they literally have nothing else. I know they've got Juju. They've got some guy, his name's Pop something or other. They've just got dust.
I think it's Nick, wide receiver. Nick so. Papa Giorgio from Yuma, Arizona.
That's what it is. Yeah.
He works in software.
From Yuma.
Yeah, from Yuma.
From Yuma.
This just in. You guys that have Sleeper probably saw this. Some in league circles think that after the season, the Commanders will try to work out a deal with the Patriots to hire Bill Belichick.
Wow.
Holy cow.
So you heard it here first, even though
that is breaking.
It probably isn't going to be posted for another 20 minutes or so. But irregardless, I love the pick, and I need me some Mondre this week, Brandon, so would love to see that. How about a wide receiver? I think we already know who that is, but go ahead and finalize that, Brandon.
I actually have 3 written down here. I'll give you the free one. I've got Deontay, I think he scores this week. I don't think he's – he may not be a smash, so he's not my pick, but I think Deontay scores this week and starts to get right a little bit. I've got Davante Adams against the Giants. He's in a get-right spot this week. But my actual smash this week is T. Higgins against Buffalo. And
double smash. What the hell?
Right on the same,
triple right smash. On the same triple smash.
Triple smash T. Higgins.
Wow. Wow.
You got to pay extra for that, Cotton.
This is incredible. Legendary stuff. Unprecedented in the living room here. So, Brandon, we couldn't be more on the same page with these because I was very close to taking Ramondre as well. So, I love that. Higgins across the board. I'm betting every dime I have on Higgins. Jerry, why don't you close this out with a tight end?
Tight end. I'm going to ride the targets of Trey McBride. While I don't like the...
Double smash!
No way.
I swear to God.
I don't like the matchup against Cleveland, and I'm kind of worried about the quarterback situation, but I feel like that's only going to help him get more targets, dumping down, safety net, rookie QB, pass rush coming. He's got to get rid of it quick. Throw it to that big white boy out there. Give me Trey McBride.
So, Jerry, you know I've been pumping the McBride train for a few weeks this year, and happy to say that I did start him in my Dynasty League last week, which was tight end premium, and I took down the Buzzard Brothers because of it. So very pleased at that, and hoping to grab him in another league. Maybe I already did. So Trey McBride for me as well, and popular picks. Brandon, close us out with a tight end.
You guys aren't going to believe this, but I had Trey McBride written down and I erased him. So Trey McBride went for 1095 and one last week. Some of that came in garbage time, but the Cardinals are just going to be in garbage time because they suck. So that's going to be a theme this year. So again, I wrote down a couple because I don't want to cheat the people. I wrote down Jake Ferguson of the Dallas Cowboys. I like him against the Eagles this week. As I mentioned before, I think the Eagles are going to be dead set on stopping CeeDee Lamb. It's probably not going to work because he's a fucking baller. But I can see a lot of that underneath stuff coming through. The Eagles have just gotten beat to hell in the middle of the field and by tight ends. I like Jake Ferguson. Smash.
I love it. Ferg Daddy. I know Jerry loves it. That's his dude. All right.
Big Fergie guy.
What a smash section. I will tell you, there has never been a more exciting smash section than that. And why wouldn't it be that way on a night we are graced with the namesake of the smash section, Burger Daddy Smash Burgers. Brandon, any truck dates coming up that you want to share with everybody?
Well, I would like to apologize to the people last week. We were at the winery and we had some technical difficulties. The propane line on our trailer, I hit something with it and, it cracked the line and I wasn't able to operate. So we were serving smash burgers out of the, drip house Saturday for the nice people of Brookville. But normal stuff for November. We are going to be at Lost in the Wilds in Shippenville on November 10th. That's the last time we're there for the week. We're winding down, wrapping up the season. And then we are finishing up the public events with the winery again on, November 18th. So we'll be back there. And that is it for Burger Daddy, for 2023. And we will be... this is also a exclusive for the Fantasy Funkhouse. Wow. We are going to be listing Burger Daddy for sale.
Wow.
So we've got the coffee house going, and we've got some other stuff on the horizon, and we just want to see if anybody's interested in buying Burger Daddy to possibly be available for more days than we're currently available for right now. We're only working like 4 or 5 days a month. So that is a Fantasy Funkhouse exclusive.
Wow. You heard it here, folks.
If you or your brother, or your sister, or your grandma interested in owning a burger food truck, then give me a shout and we'll see if we can work something out.
What an exclusive. So we appreciate you breaking the news right here. Sad to see that happen, but I know those burgers will be getting pumped out somewhere at least, whether that's the coffee house or you know, the Treasure Lake store or wherever. But the coffee house, Brandon, what a place. I can't say enough about it. I loved it there. You and Janae are crushing that. Jerry, when you're off dad duty sometime, or take the family, you got to get over to Drip. I know you'd love it. Danielle, classic white girl. That's right up her alley. She would love that shit. Probably some avocado toast with probably some like everything bagel seasoning. That's probably a staple for you guys. I hope you're charging $22 for that, like everywhere else does.
just right underneath that. Right?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So
$21.99.
All right, that's a deal. Now that's a Funkhouse exclusive. Tell them the champ sent you. You get your avocado toast for $21.99, and we are gonna jump into our featured segment this week. All right, time to get up on the soapbox. And Jerry, why don't you start us off this week? Why don't you jump up on there?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. I'd like to talk about bye weeks, you know. Can we, like, figure out a better schedule with these things?
Yeah.
We pumped 500 into them 2 weeks ago. Then we have none last week. Now we got 100 again this week. I could barely fill out a lineup 2 weeks ago, and I'm in the exact same position again this week, especially in my league. It's the most disgusting lineup you've ever seen. Both quarterbacks on a bye. Well, I had Dobbs as my super flex, now traded, won't be playing. My other quarterback was Trevor Lawrence, who's on a bye. The rest of my starting roster is pretty much on bye. No McCaffrey, no Montgomery, no. It's very ugly. I'm starting multiple tight ends, just scraps that I found on the street. I'm putting a jersey on them, telling them to go in the game. It's just, can we schedule these buys out a little better? Can we spread them out throughout the season? I don't understand why this year, especially, it seems really wonky that, like, why wasn't there any buys last week? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a weird one. I don't know if we've ever seen a middle of bye week in that bye week corridor where nobody had any. So I thought that was very interesting myself.
And they have, don't they have two teams on bye in week 14?
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. That just, you couldn't squeeze those guys into week 8. You know what I mean? Like week 14, I mean, it doesn't revolve around fantasy, but fantasy is such a driver for regular football. You know what I mean? That's the last week of the regular season for most people, I believe.
Schedulers are getting lazy, I think. I think that's what it comes down to. So, all right, I'm going to jump up on here, and I'm going to save our guests for last. I got two little things I want to talk about. First, trade deadline. Where was all the exciting stuff? You know, where are these offensive playmakers getting shipped around? I wanted to see Derrick Henry on the Ravens. I wanted to see maybe Nuke Hopkins go somewhere, T. Higgins. I mean, who else? Plenty of offensive people that were just, I don't know, so many juicy rumors, and we didn't get really any action. I mean, the best action we got was fucking Chase Claypool to the Dolphins. As embarrassing as that is. It was all like defensive guys. Like the Niners made out like bandits, I think, with Chase Young. But unless I'm forgetting somebody, who were some of these offensive playmakers that got traded? I don't really know of any besides, I mean, you can make the argument for
Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah, DPJ. Yeah, I mean, that tells you how much confidence they have in Jameson Williams. It's none. It's zero. That was interesting to me. And the second one, and I don't want to give this any more, you know, attention than it needs, but this whole Taylor Swift thing. I'm not a Swiftie. I don't hate Taylor Swift. But doesn't it piss you off that Brittany Mahomes thinks she's cool enough to hang out with Taylor Swift? This is the part that I have the most trouble with. Brittany Mahomes sucks so fucking bad, like the worst. And now she gets to be friends with Taylor Swift. And I don't even like Taylor Swift that much, but they got like a stupid fucking handshake and shit. And I'm just like, that makes me want to not like Taylor Swift as much, because there's nobody worse than Brittany Mahomes. Maybe not even Jackson Mahomes. So I have a real problem with that. Just her thinking that like she's cool enough to hang out with Taylor Swift. That's like my biggest issue with this whole fucking thing. So I can't stand that. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are. I'm sure it probably aligns with mine, but I'm done with this Brittany Mahomes shit. And now we just have to see her on the camera more. I don't mind seeing Taylor Swift, but now we got to see fuck her too. Like, what?
Right.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
This ain't about you. This ain't about her. No. She's just trying to weasel her way in.
I think Jackson Mahomes just standing there waiting for the handshake to end so he can like give them a high five after it. So it's just fucking pathetic. The whole thing is just a big fucking PR scam. Somebody blew the cover. I'm not putting my tinfoil hat on, but they were blowing the cover on that the other day too, about how it's just a PR scam because not gonna get into it. This is a fun and entertaining podcast. I'm not even gonna get into that stuff, but the whole thing just, I love football, love fantasy, and they're just shoving the Brittany Mahomes, Taylor Swift thing in there. And it's just this is sacred to me. Like, don't shove that shit in my face, because you're ruining the thing that I love to attract people that don't give a fuck about football.
Yeah. And way too many Taylor Swift, Kelsey Halloween costumes. Those were trash. That was dumb. Not into that at all. Those were bad costumes. But you're absolutely right. Can't stand any of that stuff. Not disparaging Taylor. I know we got some Swifties out there, Len, so don't hear what I'm not saying. But, God, Brittany Mahomes, disgusting. Brandon, I'm going to step down, and let me help you up. Let me give you a little hand, and get yourself up here.
Little spot there. Good knee problems, so thanks for that boost. So something that's been bothering me for a while now, I've been trying to be more positive just in my life in general, but something that's been bothering me since week one, and it may be a hot take, it may not be a hot take, I don't know, I don't really care. I hate the Sunday Ticket on YouTube. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so bad. All I want is the 8 box back that they had on DirecTV. I want it back so bad. I want to stand there and squint at my TV and not be able to see any players. It looks like fucking Tecmo Bowl. I can't tell the difference between Tyreek Hill and Braxton Berrios. I don't care. I just want the 8 little tiny boxes on there, and I want to see every play going on all day for 4 hours. That's all I want.
I love the quad box so much. I can't get enough of it.
I want the octo box back.
I'm a quad box guy. I can get a bigger look at the game. I can change the multi view. Agree to disagree, but I am taken aback.
The thing that I do like about the Sunday Ticket is there's so much, like, they pretty much have, like, you can pick the 4 games that you want to watch, which is something that I've been wanting for. But like, if there was 9 games on, like a week that there's no buys and there's 9 games on, I'm missing one game. I'm missing Tennessee, Jacksonville. I'm fucking pissed off, man. I want all the games. I can't get enough games on my screen.
You love points, like, I'm and
watching,
games.
Like, currently I'm watching the 4. I have a 120-inch projector in my basement. I'm watching these 4 screens. I can see everything. I don't want to see everything. I want to see in those 4 games. I don't want to see, like, I don't want to see clear pictures of 4 games. I want to see 9-10 games all at one time. Like, I kind of think watching the Red Zone is better than watching Sunday Ticket 4 screens.
Well, Brandon, I'm going to break.
We don't always agree.
I know.
We align with the Smash Picks, but we don't align in everything. That's true. Okay.
I do.
We can agree to disagree.
We will agree to disagree, but I do want to tell you and the rest of those attending football day that Brandon was a secret addition this year, and he will be attending football day.
That's awesome.
And we're going to be watching the quad box all day.
God damn.
But I will say,
four boxes. I'm gonna have three iPads with me and my phone, so I can watch all the games.
I'll be
if that's what I gotta do. I'm downloading like Paramount Plus at 12:55, so I can watch the CBS local game on.
I will have the TV down in the den by the fireplace. I think we might as well put both of them on. We can kind of intermingle in and out, so maybe we can change up the multi views there a little bit. So yeah, we'll see.
I'll bring a TV too if you need to.
A lot of breaking news here on the pod tonight. We got the Burger Daddy news. We got Brandon coming to football day. We got all kind of stuff. So what an episode.
It's amazing.
Brandon, thank you so much for coming on, and especially with your exclusive news for us. So always a fan favorite. Going to be a big pod. And if anybody could, you know, come up to bat after Nikita last week, it was certainly you. So thank you for coming on, sir. Hope you had a good time.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
And for Mr. Chains, I am Matty Funk. Jerry, week 9, what do we got for him?
It's getting down to the nitty-gritty now, ladies and gentlemen. You better hold on tight and watch out for them damn bye weeks, man. Good luck.
And if you can, trade deadlines are looming. If you have a losing record, you better go out and make a deal. That's all I have to say. All right. Good luck this week, and we will see you next week.
Peace.